Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Update your home with Palmero Vinyl Plank Flooring. It provides a genuine, weathered wood look that complements any decor and clicks together for easy installation. It's waterproof, scratch and dent resistant, making it perfect for active households. Save big money on our wide variety of flooring options at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Soccer Matters.
Quick shot, score! The U.S. with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from Hugh O'Connor's Irish Bar and Restaurant, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, as always, we're at Hugh O'Connor's out here. It's the official home of the Euros. For ESPN 97.5 and Soccer Matters. Also, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, Goose Behind the Bar. A big thank you to David and Peter Kingston. These guys got through the pandemic. They've been big supporters of soccer in Houston. So a big thank you to all of them for being great hosts out here. We've got a nice crowd in here. So if you're out and about on the town, 7620 Katy Freeway, at the end of this segment, we're going to give a bunch of stuff away. So we're going to have about five winners. Tickets, soccer ball, jerseys. It's all going to happen at the end of this segment. As always, a big shout out to our presenting sponsor, the Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit. And again, our great friends at Advantage BMW in Midtown. And very pleased to have out here, making the effort to come out here because he lives downtown. He is, as everybody knows, a host of the Blitz with AJ Hoffman. He is one of the key guys. Guys like me are tertiary. Guys like this guy. These are fundamental. These are like having a great holding six in midfield. That's fundamental to success. He's Fred Fowler. He joins us now. Fred, how are you?
I am fantastic, and I was telling you, it's probably been 2 years since I've seen you in person, which is probably the longest we've ever gone. And crazy. You look 5 years younger, and I look 20 years older. So I don't know how that worked. I don't know how, you know, I just don't get this stuff, but it's so good to see you in person, brother, and thanks for having me out.
Well, if you really think that happened, then thank you very much for coming out. It might be because some of that rock cut you were drinking on Fridays. Those Friday shot hours.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I made sure to stay away from the station during that, but that's bad. All right, so, you know, I always love talking to you because I think you have a very expansive mind. You appreciate, other sports, soccer. You're a big hockey guy. I mean, you're a sports guy through and through. You got great takes on things. Give us a little insight into the Euros. I mean, you're having to follow it. You're having to watch it because you are in the sports business. So a little bit of what it's meant to you as somebody who's maybe not the 100% hardcore soccer guy.
Well, I'm not, but I'm the kind of guy who you guys want. Like, I'm watching more and more soccer. I'm enjoying it more. And, you know, I always watch the big tournaments. I always watch, obviously, the World Cup, the Euros I really get into the Premier League, and probably because of gambling, because during the Rona last year, there wasn't much to bet on. So it was a Bundesliga, and it was a Premier League. And I'd already kind of been getting into the Premier League just because I'd get up on Saturday mornings. There's nothing else on, and I started watching. And I, you know, obviously love watching Chelsea and Liverpool and all these teams. So really enjoy it, and I've totally gotten into the Euros. And I mentioned this on air. I spent my entire weekend, for the most part, watching soccer and, to a lesser extent, golf on Sunday, which is another thing. But I really have enjoyed, especially the knockout round. There's so much exciting stuff. And the match yesterday with the penalty kicks. And I know, listen, I'm not purist soccer guy. I know most purist soccer guys hate penalty kicks. I mean, but it creates so much drama. I mean, that save was just so amazing. And I heard you talking on the way over, and it's like the moment of the tournament so far. And it was fantastic to watch. I really enjoyed the England game today. And I know you're kind of telling England fans to pump the brakes, and I know this next game's going to be tough. But if I'm not mistaken, they get by this, the semifinals at Wembley, right?
They get back home, I think. Yeah, they go to Rome against the Ukraine. They get the winner of the Czech Republic and Denmark. Listen, I'm not trying to dampen anybody's enthusiasm. I always respect just how quickly these tournaments can turn and things. But I get it. Why England fan now is feeling really, really good.
Listen,
absolutely. The Germans off in England. You know, you game, set, and match, right?
And here's why I'm kind of rooting for England. They remind me of my beloved Toronto Maple Leafs. The Leafs haven't won a Stanley Cup since the 60s. When was the last time England won something? The 60s.
Dave Keon.
And they always have these great teams, and they never live up to expectations. I'd love to see them get deep in this thing and at least get to the finals. I think it'd be great. But, I enjoy all the teams, and I've really gotten to where I've been listening to you for years, and we've been working together for years, and I've learned so much about the game from you. As somebody who didn't grow up with it, but I really enjoy it, and especially these big tournaments. And locally, I just want the Dynamo to get good because I'd really like to go to some games. I'm the kind of person that if you totally suck at something, it's hard for me to invest. And I love the changes that have been made. Hell, my dog's named Dynamo. And we're thinking about getting another one and naming it Dash.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
Yeah. Although it's kind of weird because Dynamo's the female and Dash is going to be a male, but. Hey, whatever.
It works. We're talking to Fred Fowler, host of The Blitz with A.J. Hoffman. You had me a little bit nervous on the way home.
Why is that?
Because A.J.'s leaving, and it sounded like you were a little concerned about who your future partner is going to be. I know you've been trialing people. Because, look, at the end of the day, having done World Cups and Olympics, when it comes down to you and a partner on a game, you're getting judged together. If you're two solo entities and you're working on your own, it's like anything else. You got to have that chemistry. You got to respect each other. You got to respect each other's opinions. So tell me about that.
This is
a big moment because you guys have been together a long time.
Over 11 years, that we've worked together. And, I'm really happy for him and this opportunity, and I want to make that clear. It's like I would have loved to have done this show together for 3-4 more years. I don't think we'd reach the bottom yet. I think at some point we would, because everybody does. And you quit being relevant at some point. And I don't think we ever were going to get to that, at least not for a while. But this is an opportunity that's so good for him, and I'm happy for him. But from a personal perspective, I'm also at a point in my life where – I'm an old man at this stage. I think I have one more move left in me in terms of what's next. And I don't know. And I honestly feel like whatever we do come up with, we'll have a good show. And that'll be great. But I'm not going to lie and say I haven't thought about maybe this is a time for me to walk away too. I've got a lot of things going on. We've got the Sports Map Elite project that we're about to launch that is going to be an absolute monster. And is going to make enough money to buy the world, So I've got that. I've got some other business things that are
Fred's
happening.
Fred's an author also. I know his loyal listeners know that, but mine don't.
I've always kind of in the back of my mind just wanted to write novels and play big poker tournaments. And at some point in my life, I will do that. The question is when. And I would say it's 5% that it's going to be now. But I don't want to rule it out either because I'm in a position where I can do that if I want. I'd like to keep doing radio for a while. I think there's more to do. I think there's some things that we haven't explored yet, and I think that the right partner, we can do a lot of good stuff. And I've been part of the media in this city for longer than most of these people have been alive, so it's not an easy thing to say, maybe this is it. But I also don't want to pretend like, I'm just going to keep doing this forever because at some point, there are other things in my life that I really want to get to. But I don't know. I really, right now, everything's on the table. And Tyler knows this because we've talked about it. I have no idea where it's going to go.
You got the great Tyler Scott out here.
Tyler's fantastic.
These guys are fantastic. Aaron, Tyler, these guys, the way they produce for us and make it real easy, we're always indebted to that. By the way, full disclosure. Essentially, I kind of worked for you when you were the editor in the sports department.
You were a contractor, so technically no. But
I don't think I ever even came in and saw you in that office.
Yeah, you did.
Once, maybe twice? A
couple of times, yeah.
Yeah. So what did you think of me back then, writing soccer? What did you think of it as a sports editor back then, and where did you see it fitting into the sports landscape?
All right, well, here's this is kind of an interesting story because I inherited you.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's true.
When I took over, you were doing a big soccer, one soccer notebook, right?
Yep.
And the first thing I did was call you and say, we need to do a Dynamo one and we need to do a national one. Mm-hmm. So we expanded that. Then we started doing soccer coverage in Spanish. And then we did a lot of other cool things, sports related, that nobody else was doing. We were the first major paper to cover MMA.
Yep.
Actually send people to cover MMA. I had a poker column every week. We were really way ahead of the curve, and we were one of the best sports sections in the country. And to your point, I thought we had this valuable resource who was beloved in the soccer community. And now, to be fair, I also had to edit the hell out of your stuff.
Yeah,
but
no, I know that.
In fact, I used
but
one of
But you didn't hire me for my writing
skills. No,
you hired me for my
true
ideas.
True story.
Yeah.
I used a Glenn Davis soccer column as an editing test for everybody we brought in for an interview.
Oh, that's crushing. You want to discard the show the rest of the night? I'm ready to walk out of here.
But you were so passionate and so valuable, and your knowledge was so good. And I feel like we did groundbreaking things together. And, yeah. You know, and I don't know that it was completely appreciated by the newspaper. And not that anything that I did there was very appreciated. They were more than happy to get rid of me because... They took credit for everything I did, and then when I was gone, all of a sudden everything went to hell. But yeah, you were so fantastic to work with and so passionate. And if I had a soccer question, and I would call you and say, "Hey, is this a good idea?"
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be like, "Well, I don't think soccer fans will be into that," or you'd be like, "That's a great idea." And we did some fantastic things. And if you ever get a chance to go back and find one of those old newspapers, Glenn was terrific. I mean, yeah, the editing jokes aside, the content was amazing. And I have learned from you now for 15, 20 years.
That's crazy.
If you think about it, it is. And, I mean, all my soccer knowledge at the beginning came from you. And
but
what
you
was
have,
important.
You have to remember, too, I took that with intense responsibility. I mean, I'm not the A-plus writer, but
no,
I knew what I was doing was very important. It was a platform. I know the makeup of the city and the ethnic diversity that we carry.
Let me clarify. That was one of the first ones you ever wrote, by the way. You got so much better as we went on.
Okay.
It just was funny to me.
No. It's all good. We all learn. I mean, listen, I was learning as I was on the fly there, like everything else. Look, I fell into the media. I fell into TV.
Well, yeah,
fell into radio.
And that's not something
writing.
And that's something that I kind of prided myself on, by the way, is taking people who weren't traditional journalists and writers and bringing them in, like Lance Erline, for instance. When we had Lance's blog was one of our most popular things. Well, Lance never wrote anything in his life. Well, now he writes for NFL Network. And, you know, you were a commentator that we brought in. And guess what? It worked. So
it did work. All right, we're gonna have Rodrigo De Luna join us in the next segment. Everybody knows him from the Houston soccer community. Fred's going to stick with us again. We'll get a phone call in from DJ's son. So this is kind of a cool, organic sort of a lot of superstars that I would call all these guys that I'm mentioning here. Fred Fowler, Rodrigo De Luna, Garrett Grinsfelder just on, Jan Christensen. These are all very important local people to me. We're going to take a break here at Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway. All people that are contributing to sports, to the soccer environment. We thank everybody for coming out here tonight. Again, 7620 Katy Freeway. If you're out and about, pull in right now. It's going to be a lot of fun. Fred and I have been talking about having a drink for a long time, so I may even have one before that final segment. We'll see. A lot more to come here. You can also call the show at 713-780-3776. Going to bring Rodrigo on, and we're going to talk about the differences between the Euros and the Copa America in South America because it is a very stark contrast. And by the way, Lionel Messi was banging in goals and setting people up like crazy last night for Argentina against Bolivia. All right, we'll take a break. Break is brought to you by Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway. Back in a moment.
When When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.
I'm Jordi Sunier in Barcelona, and you're listening to Soccer Matters.
Para el gran goleador. Aquí puede venir uno más porque la tiene Messi, porque va a definir, porque la puso por arriba, porque metió el tercero. ¡Gol! ¡De Argentina!
So, Lionel Messi. This is the Black Crowes Remedy. Somebody told me the Black Crowes are playing in the Woodlands. I'm not sure, but it's a great band. Song's called Remedy, and we welcome you back to Hugh O'Connor's Pub. It's Katy Freeway, 7620 Katy Freeway. If you're out and about on the town, come on out. We've had Fred Fowler on the show so far. We've had Garrett Grinsfelder on the show. We've had Jan Christensen. We're rolling on here tonight with more guests. And if you want to call in, 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. We're bringing in right now, courtesy of John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We will have on now. He's my great friend. He's been a big contributor to the soccer community here in Houston, Texas, back in the days with Fiesta, big promoter. His name is Rodrigo De Luna. He joins us now. Rodrigo, how are you?
Good. Glenn, how are you doing today?
All right. And Fred's coming back, too. So we got Fred. Fred, your spot was just on, by the way. So it was a good spot. All right, so
buying one of your T-shirts.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And actually, that's Hugh O'Connor, so good for them. They printed those up. They're beautiful.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. I bought one, too.
So if you're out and about, we got a lot of stuff in here. I'm coming in with some T-shirts next Tuesday as well. This is your home of the Euros here for Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. All right, let's talk a little bit about the contrast between the Copa Americas. After watching the Switzerland huge upset in penalties over France, I flip on Bolivia and Argentina, and you go to a stark, empty stadium. They're complaining about the surfaces in South America. There's still issues with COVID down there. It's an incredible contrast between these two tournaments, where they are from a health perspective. Yet, you know, here's the world's purportedly greatest player, Lionel Messi, doing things that were just magical in front of absolutely no one.
And you know, Glenn, it's hard right now for Copa America. The majority of Brazilians didn't want the tournament there because there's a lot of issues, social issues going on, again, COVID, and a lot of things. Even the players didn't want it. But, you know, it has to go on because of the sponsors, the TV, that's all been agreed to. But you know, we're getting treated to the Euro Cup and Copa America, a lot of soccer, so it's a good thing. And yes, and you know, watching Messi play with Argentina, it's amazing to watch. And against Bolivia, that goal he scored with a little volley was, again, just reminds you what a talent this guy is. You know.
Now, Lionel Messi is remarkable. Is it a different Argentina now? Because they've had so much trouble with their federation. Is it a different Argentina?
Most definitely. There's a lot of trouble with federation ever since Grondona passed away. The guy who runs the federation now, Tapia, is not very well liked. But, you know, this is not the Argentina that me and you grew up watching. You know, Mario Kempes, Gabriel Batistuta, Diego Maradona.
I mean, is it a different Argentina? Have they gotten over the hurdles of some of their problems with their federation? You know, they've really struggled in recent times. Do things seem a little bit more collective? Is it a little bit more one-for-all spirit? Has the conflict and the fraying of the relationship with the federation, has that improved? Is that better? Is Messi happier? Because we all know that's what it's all about.
Well, when it comes down to Leo Messi, he has unfinished business with Argentina. He needs to win something big with them. I mean, he's won an under-21s World Cup with them, but he's not won. They've been to several finals and lost. Copa America finals. Remember the Centenario? They've lost against Germany in Brazil in the World Cup. So there's unfinished business with Messi and Argentina, because the Argentinian people still will not say he is the greatest until he wins a World Cup like Diego did. Though Messi's won more than Diego, but the Argentinian people don't look at him and they say, well, you'll never be an idol unless you win a World Cup like Diego did. As far as issues with the federation, they're still there. Right now, it's just everything is just like put to the side.
Yeah.
Right? But, yeah.
Argentina 4-1 over Bolivia yesterday. Gomez in the sixth. By the way, the pass that Messi made there, as good as the goals scored.
And
unbelievable.
The setup was beautiful. You know, Argentina is still fun to watch. The way they move the ball and the way they pass it. And the way they set one another up. I mean, it's still good football to watch.
It's an incredible soccer-playing nation. Messi in the 33rd. Messi again in the 42nd. And then Martinez in the 65th. So they blow out Bolivia. Uruguay beat Paraguay yesterday. Edison Cavani from the penalty spot. Fred, have you been able to look, flip in the channels? Have you seen Copa America and the contrast between that and the Euros at all?
I've watched a little, not nearly enough. I'm going to wait till it's a little deeper, obviously. But my question is for both you guys, because Messi is so amazing. At this age, is he still able to win them a World Cup in 2 years?
Rodrigo?
You know, Messi has that ability to take a game. I mean, he's dragged Argentina to finals. He's dragged them to qualifiers. But at the end of the day, it's still a team sport. And if you looked in the last finals, the passes he set up for Higuain, for Agüero, for Rodrigo Palacio, they've all blown it. You know, you can't expect one guy to win every game for you. It's still a team sport. You know, when it comes down to it, he's still the greatest player in the world, in my opinion.
So the supporting cast to you has never lived up to it around Lionel Messi?
I don't think so. I think they've come up short, because again, he's not just a striker.
Di Maria.
Di Maria is another example that always either gets hurt or disappears in the finals, and you've seen it with PSG. You know, he's a player that I can't stand because of the way he's talent, but he comes up short in these crucial games. Pepito Higuain.
But what about the rawness of South America? You know, sometimes, and it's not happening now during the Euros, I can assure you that. But there is sometimes I just yearn for the game that's not the perfect, homogenized, perfectly manicured fields, stadium. I love the fact that South America, some of these stadiums are just concrete, right?
This is why
they're a working man's game. And you go into these stadiums and you can't even tell, because there's so many people in there that they're sitting on concrete, right?
Or standing.
And Messi's in this game. And you know, Riquelme's in this game. And Neymar's in this game. it depends on the day, but there's sometimes sports becomes just too freaking slick for me. Too slick.
Well, you know, thank God for Copa Libertadores. We can watch those games that are intense, they're raw, they're played in little towns in Bolivia, in Brazil, in Chile, in Ecuador, and they're intense. And the game is more free-flowing, it's a little more aggressive, but that's what this game is about. And they're not as polished as the Champions League, Or the UEFA Cup, or whatever it's called now, Europa Cup, whatever, or even the Euro Cup. No, Euro Cup, this is a great Euro Cup, but still, you want to see a raw, intense game like what you're speaking of. I mean, Copa Libertadores, thank God for that tournament, because that's a great tournament to watch.
So
to me, it's better.
The two greatest countries when it comes to exporting soccer players in the world is Argentina and Brazil, right? So they're coming out of these environments. They're going over to Europe. And Fred, you being in the business, and look, sports radio is more than just sports, as we all know. I mean, you know it in a much different way, because my show's, you know, once a week, it's specific to soccer and football, and it goes to a specific genre of people. But does it ever bother you that, like, athletes are getting so individualistic and the nuances of the game are talked about less, and it's maybe more about all that other stuff?
It doesn't bother me because, unfortunately, I just think that's the direction we're going. And you know, I love what you guys are talking about with these pristine fields and everybody's – I mean, everything's a perfect setup when, you know, one of the things I always found charming about soccer, especially South American soccer, is you grew up playing – just the same way I grew up playing baseball on a field that had horse hooves in it. So if you hit a ground ball, there's a good chance it's going to hit you in the face, right? And so you didn't grow up in this perfect situation – and you better learn your skills,
yeah.
Because the ball's not going to go perfectly when you try to make a pass.
Oh, that's yeah. Well, I mean, you know, dirt fields,
yeah,
streets.
We grew up playing in the streets.
Game grew.
You and I
was watching guys playing in a parking lot the other day, and it was fascinating to watch because they're really skilled guys,
yeah.
And they're on break from work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that's how I grew up playing baseball. It's how I grew up playing football. We played football at Rice Stadium when the thing was complete concrete. And you got tackled, you got up, and there's blood all over your leg every tackle. And to me, you know, I kind of miss that charm.
Yeah.
Because
that's kind of what I'm saying, a little bit of the charm. I'm not saying I disagree with it. I understand where it's going. This is a sport now.
But if you're a high-level athlete, you don't want to do that anymore. You kind of feel like you paid your dues. It's like, you know, I want to get on a field where – you know, I'm not going to bleed the second I hit it. I want to get on a field where the ball's going to go exactly where I want it to go.
But for a lot of these players...
Dirt fields, parking lots, this is how people develop skill.
But for
learning how to control a ball on differing surfaces
and
things like that, this is how you can grow your game. Now we look at kids in this community now, and listen, they got more shoes and bags and gear than I ever had in a lifetime, okay? I mean, it's incredible, and I worry a little bit about that. Not in a bad way. Part of it, I'm glad it's happening, and then there's a part of me that I worry because things don't come to you easy. I mean, these kids watching these games, these guys in the Euros that people are watching, this didn't happen because they love soccer, okay? This happened behind closed doors, dedication, doing things that, you know, away from cameras, away from phones. Well, kind of away from phones.
Can I put a positive on that,
yes,
though?
That's not a negative, by the way.
No, I mean, but I think that could also lead to, I mean, kids that might be borderline on wanting to play, if things are a little easier to get into it, they may turn out to be great. They may develop that passion. I mean, I think a lot of people do that. They're kind of halfway interested, and the parents get them into it, and then they find out, hey, I'm really good at this. And I think you develop more talent that way. And I just think it creates opportunities for more people to get interested. And so maybe they don't develop the skills the same way that you guys did or that I did growing up, but the reality is if you get a broader base of kids who probably – because, listen, kids have a lot of options these days, especially in the United States. You can play basketball. You can play anything. If there's
lifestyle, is
right. And so if there's an opportunity for you to get in there and have it a little easier to get in, and then realize you have that skill set, and then develop it to an elite level later on, which is another question about development, which you and I have talked about in the past. And I think there's a better model out there in the U.S. that I don't want to get down that rabbit hole again, but maybe you open it up to more players that way. Because the kids who are going to grow up playing on the field are going to do it anyway.
Hold these thoughts, because I got to go to the phone line right now. My friend DJ's son, he's got a bar called The Flat. Dwayne De Rosario is going to be there and signing some books and doing a DJ set. DJ's son, how are you, buddy?
Glenn, how's it going, man? I'm doing well.
All right, it's going good. First thing I want you to do is just tell us about your event with Dwayne De Rosario coming up.
All right, so, you know, I saw that Dwayne had a book out quite a while back, and then I've seen some postings on his Instagram. I reached out to him. He and I are friends for a long time, and I said, hey, man, so why don't you come in, one, do a DJ set on the Wednesday night? He's, you know, he's got Guyanese roots. I'm from Suriname. We both like reggae. I was like, hey, man, come in and do a DJ set.
You're from Suriname now because the Netherlands got knocked out of the tournament. I thought yesterday you were from the Netherlands. I'm sorry. I had to say that.
Yeah.
Don't pull that one on me, Andre.
There are a lot of Surinamese kids that play for the Netherlands, and you know I follow those guys.
Suriname wins the World Cup. I know what country you're from then, too. All right, so go on with
Bernard's
your bet.
In the Gold Cup.
I know.
Bernard is definitely in the Gold Cup this month, by the way. And
well, you and I are going to that game. We're going to that game, you and I.
Definitely.
We're going to that game. So finish up on Dwayne. Yeah, so finish up on Dwayne.
So Dwayne, a great guy. He and I have hung out before, and I said, "Hey man, come into Houston. Let's do a DJ set." He's watched me DJ before, and I knew he had a passion for it. So I wanted him to come in tomorrow night. He's going to come in and do a DJ set, and then on Thursday he'll do a book signing from like 6 to 9. I think he's written a great book talking about his life. Of course, I think you had him on your show as well.
Correct.
Yeah,
it's a great book. I think people are going to love the book. It's his story. Top three all time in the history of Major League Soccer, in my mind, the things that man did,
man,
and driven as a player.
Yeah, I've made a lot of good friends on the Dynamo team, and I don't want to slight anyone, but man, Dwayne De Rosario, he was the dude, man. Like he's bringing all that energy to the Dynamo, to that championship. Just the beautiful goals he scored as well. He's just a legend for the Dynamo, I believe.
MLS Best 11, All-Star, Goals of the Year, multiple MLS Cups. He was the straw that stirred the drink for the Houston Dynamo and Dominic Kinnear. I don't think there's any question about that, hands down. And you know what? He was on my show, and he talked about if he would have stayed here, and he would have if he got massaged a little bit more and got a little bit more money. You might have won a third time.
And that's a whole other story, right?
That is a whole other story. So quickly, before we got a couple of minutes before we go to break, just tell me what happened with the Netherlands. What's going on in the country? I know the board's out now. This was a rough exit for the Netherlands.
So everything that I'm reading and all the analyses and kind of what I intuitively thought anyway was the Boer was the wrong choice. And I don't know why they went to him. And they're coming out with all these analyses about, like, okay, so when you bring in the Boer, why don't you give him enough authority? You know, he doesn't necessarily bring the right personality to it, and he doesn't have the right vision. So now Nico Jan Hoogsma, who's the guy who's going to hire the next guy and hired the Boer, is actually retracking on all this and going, hey, we got to hire someone with authority, et cetera, et cetera. But the grand error of hiring the Boer and the way the Boer came in, it goes to one name, and it's Dwight Lodewijkers, right? That was the assistant to Koeman. Basically, the Boer was put in charge, and he was told, hey, we're going to hire you, but guess what? You're going to keep these two assistants. It was Dwight Lodewijkers, and it was another gentleman. And that immediately takes away his authority. And then he comes back by saying, hey, well, I'm going to play 5-3-2, and you're not really going to mess with my vision about that. Well, 5-3-2 is absolutely un-Dutch. It does not follow any of the philosophy of the Dutch great masters.
They flew a plane over with the... Right? Tell me the story about when they flew the plane over.
Oh, man. That was so funny. So during one of their practices, one of the TV stations, actually, it was discovered afterwards, hired a plane to fly over, and it said... You know, something like, hey, just be normal, just go back to 4-3-3.
Yeah. It was a news station, right?
It was a station that a TV station that basically carried a sports show. A Dutch station. And the thing about that is he was really stubborn about just sticking with it, but I think it had everything to do with that initial, you know, placement of, hey, De Boer, you're going to funk. You're going to come in, but we're going to tell you who you're going to keep as your assistant. And that puts him against the eight ball immediately. It takes a lot of respect away. And then he has to stick to his vision, which takes respect away from the players because You're using players that are not used to that system, except for Martin Deron. Martin Deron played for Atalanta Bergamo and did really well in it. That's one player, but that's not your pivotal player. That's not Frankie de Jong, Wijnaldum, Memphis Depay. So I think that sums up the story. So they called in Frank de Boer. They gave him no support after he lost. And Frank de Boer left that meeting and said, you know what, I'm going to pack my bags and I'm out of here. But I
time
think
they're
going to fire him anyway.
Andre, thank you very much. 6 to 9 Thursday at the flat. And then tomorrow, Dwayne De Rosario will do a DJ set there as well. As always.
1701 Commonwealth, the flat.
There you go. 1701 Commonwealth, the flat. We're going to take a break here. It's a little bit of Black Sabbath for my friend here, Rodrigo de Luna. One of the loudest bands I've ever heard in my life, Fred. I think I was deaf the next day after that show.
Unpopular opinion, I like Black Sabbath better with Ronnie James Dio than with Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, you'll have a lot to talk with this guy. We're going to take a break here at Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, where we are about to raffle off a Christian Eriksen jersey straight back from the Euros, brought here courtesy of Jan Christensen and Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. Big thank you to everybody out here at Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway. It is the official home of Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit for the Euros. We'll break. We'll come back. We got more.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. Live from Hugh O'Connor's Irish Bar and Restaurant. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back. Our final segment here. We got about 6 minutes. There's a little bit of housekeeping we're going to do here. And first off, we're going to thank our presenting sponsors, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. John is from Personal Injury Attorneys. They get us on the air. And I've been on the radio since 2002. Started on public radio and really, really appreciate all the support over the years and the connection from the Houston soccer community and people around the country as well. So it's been fun, and I'm still looking forward each and every week to doing radio, including my show that's now in Austin. That's well over a year now. So it's been a lot of fun. Big thanks to Hugh O'Connors again tonight here. Also, to our good friends at Advantage BMW Midtown. I want to thank them for all that they've done for, you know, getting us on the air, being the consistent sponsors over the years, because you do have to, you know, get the show monetized and on the air, and sometimes people forget that. So a big thanks to Advantage BMW Midtown. All right, Rodrigo, before we go, we're going to get a couple of your predictions. Friday, we got Switzerland and Spain. Who gets through there?
You know, I'm thinking there's going to be some upsets. You know, though Spain looks the top. You know, Switzerland, what they've done so far, they can make it very hard on Spain. I'm looking forward to that.
So that's not a prediction. Who wins? Who advances?
I'm thinking Spain will win, but not easily.
Okay,
not easily.
That's a good call. Yeah. That's a good call. Spain was struggling, scored 10 goals in their last two games.
I'm happy for Alvaro Morata because all the abuse he took.
Yeah.
So I was very happy for him.
Belgium, Italy. Belgium apparently without Kevin De Bruyne, without one of the Hazards. I'm not sure. Kevin De Bruyne definitely is out. Belgium, Italy. That's probably the one for the ages on Friday.
That's going to be a great game. But, Glenn, you know me. I'm an Azzurri fan.
Okay.
I'm pulling for Italy, but anything can happen because Belgium is a great team. They're the number one ranked team in the world right now.
Belgium, Italy. That's the second quarterfinal on Friday. Saturday, Czech Republic and Denmark. Oof.
I don't want to make somebody mad here.
He's not listening.
It's okay, don't worry. I don't want to make some guy mad, but I'm thinking Czech Republic. They're on fire. I love the way they play.
Jan Christensen, and to those out there listening, Jan Christensen, everybody knows is Danish, but Rodrigo just picked the Czech Republic over Denmark, and then England and Ukraine. Is the English dream going to continue on here?
I'm thinking Ukraine's going to win.
Really?
Yes.
Picking the Ukraine upset over England.
I'm picking Ukraine over the Three Lions.
Wow. That's a big, bold prediction right there. There's another guy who picked that, too, that I know of. Okay, so there you go. How much time we got, Aaron?
About 3.5 minutes.
We still got 3.5 minutes here. So what I want to take you into is a couple of things here to wrap things up. Okay, we got the Houston Dynamo. Right now, the first caller, number 3, 7, and 5. 3, 7, and 5. Did you hear that? 3, 7, and 5 at 713-780-3776. Those three people will all get a pair of tickets to the Houston Dynamo Cincinnati on Saturday. Okay?
Good deal.
All right. So 713-780-3776. Make the phone call. That'll be three groups of people that will get a pair of tickets to the Dynamo against Cincinnati. By the way, this weekend, that's July 3rd. It's going to be fireworks there, $7 tickets, $1 hot dogs, $3 beers. But you can win right now by calling 713-780-3776. We're going to make Aaron do a little work here to end the night. Big thanks to Tyler Scott out here.
Hey, Tyler.
Getting this all set up. Producer extraordinaire. Also, can engineer, you name it. These guys can do it. They get you on the air. So a big thank you to him and everybody who came out tonight here. Podcasts of this show at ESPN975.com. You can hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook Soccer Matters. A big thank you to Jan Christensen in Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, Fred Fowler, Rodrigo de Luna for coming in here tonight. We appreciate everything that they have done here. It's kind of a different show when you're doing it at a pub. You know, you got to work to the crowd here, but you also got to remember that people are tuning in and listening. So a lot going on tonight from all fronts. There'll be a lot of things on social. Hit us up on Twitter, again, and Facebook, Soccer Matters. You can also find out a little bit more about me if you want at GlennDavisSoccer.com. So, be ready on Instagram, too, tomorrow at Glenn Davis Sock, because on Glenn Davis Sock tomorrow, we're going to also drop some tickets. So there's still a lot of tickets to give away, and that's going to do it tonight. When you hear that music from the police, that means we are wrapping it up. So a few people won things out here tonight, some good stuff. ESPN crew with Alex and Claire, we thank them a lot. Thank you very much for everything you guys do coming out here and for the firm. I'm Glenn Davis, and as we go tonight, we again thank our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. From Hugh O'Connor's Pub, 7620 Katy Freeway, a good night to everybody. Drive safe, get home safe, and we will talk to you soon next Tuesday.
ESPN 97.5.
In 2007.